Whether you grew up in a happy, healthy home or suffered through years of abuse, neglect, and a dysfunctional family, the next 25 minutes may be the most important time you spend all week. In fact, it might even change your life. Because today we're going to talk about God's prescription for healthy family relationships. You're not going to want to miss it.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this daily discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy, and today Chip continues his series, God's Boundaries for Abundant Living. He's giving us a fresh look at the Ten Commandments. We're up to number 5, Honor Your Father and Mother, which kind of sounds more like a lesson in manners. But as Chip explains, an accurate understanding of commandment number 5 could significantly change not only your view of your parents, but your family and parenting in general. Now with his message from Exodus chapter 20, here's Chip.
We're taking a fresh look at the Ten Commandments, and we're in commandment number 5, and I've entitled this A Word to Families in an Age of Chaos. And I'll never forget the first time I did all the research on this, and I taught it in a non-biblically oriented community. And I began talking to them around staff and people, what do you think it means to honor your mom and dad? So I thought, before I teach this, you know, I want to find out kind of what people were thinking. And it was amazing where they said, I have no idea. I don't even know what it means to honor someone. Well, what's it mean, do you think, for small kids? Or what do you think it means when you're an adult? And what's it look like when you're 30 years old or 40 years old or 45 years old? What's it look like to honor your mom or your dad? Or what's it look like when you have kids that are 5 or 6 or 7 and they're real small and you're the parent and you have this command, they're supposed to honor you. What's your role as a parent? And then what do you do when you're 10, 12, 14, 15 and you're very coherent, you understand how life works, and you realize this command was given to all of God's people. This command was not given to a Sunday school class. This wasn't given to some little group of small children. Now, this is what you need to know. This was given at Mount Sinai from God out of this complete pagan background. And the children were there. The adults were there. They heard God's voice. And so the application is for children, for teens, for adults, and even older adults about what it means to honor your mother and your father. So let's look at the text together. It's really pretty straightforward. The command is, Exodus 12, 20, honor your father and mother. The promise is, so that you may live long in the land and the Lord, that your Lord your God is giving you. So it's, I mean, this is not like difficult to honor your father and your mother. So honor your parents. The promise then, God is saying to this group of people as he's moving them into this land, there's going to be a correlation between how you respond to your parents and the quality of your life in this new land that I'm going to give you. What does it mean then to honor your parents? Let me give you a definition of the word honor here. This word literally in Hebrew means to be heavy. It means to glorify. It means to ascribe value and worth to your parents. It means to respect them or to hold them in high regard. And the word usage in the exact same form of this Hebrew word, to give you a little color, a little background on how this word is used elsewhere, in Leviticus 19:3, the word is used for the honor or the awe and fear and respect that's to be given God. In Deuteronomy 26:19, this exact same word in this exact same form is used for fame or praise or speaking well of. It's the enhancing the reputation of another. And then finally, this exact same word in 1 Samuel 2:29 and 30, it has the idea of wanting to please, wanting to obey someone in a relationship. So that's the idea of honor. It's the idea of valuing, respecting, obeying, speaking well of, lifting them up, giving weight to their position and to their personhood. Now, the question then is, well, why did God give this command? And if you have that pen that I've asked you to bring, I'm going to give you 3 reasons why I think God gave this command. And have you noticed that this command is very different? We've had 4 commands, and where's been the focus of all the first 4 commands? Vertical. No gods but the true God. No worship but authentic worship. Don't abuse my name. The Sabbath day, it's my day, keep it holy. And now what he's doing, this is the transitional command. This command goes from how we are to relate to God in our own personal life. This is the very first command that deals with human relationships with one another. And so the very first reason he gives this command is that the family is the foundation for human relationships. If it doesn't work at home, God's core, God's desire, God's divine design or intent, the family unit, and God is not gray or blurry about what the family unit is. The family unit is not a group of people who decide to learn and want to live together. The family unit is not people who can adopt a baby even though they're both of the same sex. The family unit in Scripture is very clear. A mother, a father, and children. A man and a woman, monogamous relationship, committed in covenant before God together, and offspring called children. That is the family. That is the divine design. Now, are there times where a mate dies? Yes. Are there times where you find yourself a single parent for reasons that you don't have control of? And will God give grace? Absolutely. But what he wants us to understand is that the foundation for human relationships designed by God is the family. And it's the first priority of all human relationships. It is the core. It is the nucleus. It's the glue of humanity. And you've heard this said probably on James Dobson a million times. As the family goes, so goes the nation. And it's true. There is a reason why this is the fifth command. The second reason is it's the foundation for respect of authority. This idea of honoring has to do with respect or obedience to authority. It will be impossible for small little boys and small little girls, if they don't learn to respect and obey a parent that they can see, they will never respect or obey other human authority. And there's a line of hierarchy in God's design. There are people that are the boss in the family. There are people that are morally responsible, that they make the rules, that they're in charge, that they are culpable and they're responsible. And there's other people in the family that are submit to those rules. And there's a stewardship of parents, we'll learn a little bit later, of not exasperating our children, of not using rules as a club, of doing it in the context of love. But you know what? As someone else has said, parenting is not for cowards. It takes courage. We have fallen into the day where every parent in our culture is, the goal is to be your kid's buddy, to be their best friend. I got news for you. There's plenty of good buddies and plenty of good friends. And there's a time where that will evolve, but your kids need to understand you're a parent. The Latin word for parent is an interesting little phrase, in loco Dei, in the place of God. That's what the Latin derivative of the word parent means. Is that God has placed a parent in the home in place of God so that a small child would understand the holiness, the love, the compassion, and the authority of God in human flesh for a period of time. So the foundation for family relationships, second, the foundation for the respect of authority, and third, the foundation of human development. The foundation of human development. Both undergraduate and graduate work, I changed my majors a lot, but I ended up with some education degrees and a psych degree in undergraduate and graduate work. And here's what I'll tell you. Whether you're Adlerian, Erickson, Skinnerian, Jung, it doesn't matter your background. Every psychological study in the world will tell you the most powerful socializing agent in the entire world is the human family. There's peers, there's experiencers, there's traumatic things that happen. But when you want to find out what most impacts a person's view of themselves, view of life, sense of being loved, self-esteem, sexual identity, and moral values, the socialization process, by and large, the most powerful one in the world, is called the family. And some of you, if we had a microphone, we could pass it around and you could talk about how true that is. And some it would be for better, and others it would be for worse. For some of you, you're 40, 50, 60 years old, and you still have little tapes that you learned from your mom or your dad or a family unit that said that you're a loser and that you're no good and you'll never amount to anything. And why don't you shut up? And you're supposed to be this and you're supposed to be that. And you've spent a huge part of your adult life working through baggage and junk because the human family unit shapes people's hearts. It shapes their minds. It shapes their emotions. It shapes how they see themselves. And that's by design. And that's why it's so important that we do life God's way. That's why it's so important that your kids get an amazing balance of firm boundaries that create security, and where they get overdoses of affirmation and love and encouragement that produces significance. Every kid is always asking two questions. Can I have my own way? And do you love me? And the answer to can I have my own way, and I mean my selfish own way for me, the answer is always no. And the answer to do you love me, the answer is always yes. Regardless of what they've done, where they've been, what they go through. And when you keep those two things in balance, you'll produce kids that are very secure, have a healthy sense of significance, and know what it means to submit to authority. So God gives us this brand new way about how relationships work in the family. It's the foundation of human relationships, respect for authority, and human development. Now turn the page, if you will, and let's get down to the real practical. What does it look like to honor our parents? And I'm gonna look at this in three stages or phases. I wanna talk about what it looks like to honor your parents when you're a child, a smaller child up through the preteens in the home. Then I wanna move on, because as you study, you know, I've looked up every verse in all the Bible, Old and New Testament, about family and obeying and honoring and wherever it pops up. And then what you find is that when kids get to be in those later teen to early adult years but still living in the home, it looks different to honor your parents. And then what you're gonna find is that when you are a middle-aged parent and your parents are aging, you're still to honor your parents, but what the scripture says what that looks like is completely different. So let's look at them one at a time. What's it look like to honor our parents as a child? I honor my parents by, write the word in, obeying them. When there's a small child, whether they're 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, I mean, on up through the teens, but a child honors their parents first and foremost by obeying them. Ephesians 6:1-4 says, children, it's a command, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, did you notice what he's quoting here? Honor your father and mother. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, is reaching back to the fifth command, which is the first commandment with the promise. Why? That it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So children, here's your responsibility, obedience. And then notice the next line, and notice who's morally responsible in the home. Does the next line say parents? Does the next line say mothers? What's it say? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up. It's an interesting word in the Greek that has for the full development of the child. Bring them up or nurture them spiritually, emotionally, physically. Create an environment, how? In the training and instruction of the Lord. And so when a small child, up through those teenage years, they honor parents by obeying. And if you will, with that pen that you brought, circle the word obey. It's a compound word, and it's kind of interesting, so it's worth kicking around. The word obey here is hupo, to be under, akuo. And I use that because there's a sound. How many people play guitar in here? Okay, got a handful. How many people, when I say this room has good acoustics, you know what I'm saying? An acoustic guitar is a kind of guitar. That's where we get our word acoustic, or hearing. Hupo means to be under. And so there's a picture here where obedience is, your little children especially need to be under the hearing of your word. That means they obey you when you speak. Children, obey your parents. That means do what they say. And I'm going to suggest that obedience has three characteristics. One, it's immediate. Two, it's complete, not partial. In other words, when you say to your kids, clean up your room, 67% of a clean room is not obedience. 100% of a clean room is obedience. It's immediate, it's complete, and it's with a good attitude. The number one thing you need as parents to teach your kids early on, and by the way, when you start real early, the better it is for them and the better it is for you, teach them to obey. And we got a generation of people that this is how it goes. Have you ever been to a grocery store and there's about a 2 or 3 or maybe 4-year-old and they're in the cart, right? And the lady or the guy is going like this and the kid's leaning over, reaching over everything. And the parent, no, can I? No, you can't have that. And you know, it's you watch this battle. In fact, sometimes when Teresa and I walk around, if I catch this, I just can't. I could get about 50 feet and I just watch. I just want to see how much of this is going to go on. And you know who almost always wins those battles? It's not the parent. Do you know all the McDonald's commercials, by and large, you know who they're geared for? They're geared for kids. You know who determines where you go out to eat in most families in America? The older parents who are thinking about nutrition and what's best? No. What? The kids. And how do they get their way? I want to go to McDonald's. I want to go. And nag. And we have a generation of people that kids have learned to teach their parents rightly how to obey them. And so we've got 5 and 8 and 9 year olds directing the world. How many times have you been, you know, it's a little convicting here, certainly happened to me. How many times have you been over to some friend's house and when your kids were small, or maybe now, and they're back either playing in the back bedroom or they're playing with some toys over here, or I remember one time they're playing in a sandbox, and this is so classic, and so you all go over there, and let's not make it you. Let's make it some very insensitive, probably parent that's not anything like you, but this could happen somewhere someday. And so they say, you know, you guys have had coffee and dinner and you're ready to go and you do what parents do. Honey, I'll go tell the kids it's time to go. And so there's two kids playing out in the sandbox. He said, Johnny, okay, it's time to go right now. Let's go. And then like parents, you get up from the table. So you come to one of those doors, not the front door, but one of the doors, and you start talking. Right? Now, and when you look, neither kid has moved. They've studied you for years. I mean, they didn't even flinch. A toy didn't even come out of the sand. And then you talk for 5 or 6 more minutes because you've been trained by your child. And then you go back and say, Johnny, right now, put those toys away and let's go. And then you move from that doorway to right near the door where you're actually going to leave and you start talking again. The one kid looks at the other, goes, shrugs his shoulders, keeps playing. And then pretty soon you realize it's been about 15 minutes. And then because you're a highly trained adult, Johnny, right now, get out of here. And the kid casually looks at his friend and goes, about time to go. I'll see you. And you know what? It's kind of funny when you tell it like that, but you know what that kid is learning? That kid has learned and has been taught that when your veins pop out and when your voice is high and when you're screaming like someone's ready to die, it's only then that you're going to act and only then that they need to obey. And now when it's 3 and 5 and 6, we can laugh in a room like this. When they're 16, it's not very funny. I learned this almost the hard way. There was a hedge that was about as high as these chairs, and Therese and I were taking a walk, and I was learning how to be a parent and still learning, but back then I had a lot more to learn. And our boys were running out ahead of us. They were about 4 and a half at the time, and we were holding hands, taking a little walk, and there was a hedge like this, and then right up about here, there was a driveway, and then people coming off this road, and then another hedge and a driveway. To make a very long story short, my one little son was, he would run up ahead and I'd say, Eric, slow down, stay close to us. And he would wave and run. And I would say my hearing of my word and he wouldn't obey. And it was kind of cute. And then in my peripheral vision, I saw a car coming out and there's no way he could see my little boy. And it was like a nightmare. I could see my little boy going and here's the opening and here's the car I can see. And I scream, Eric, stop. And he laughed and ran. And I mean, it was like, whoo, and one of those times, and I think, you know, maybe my mind's eye overly dramatic, but everything flashed in front of me. I thought I just lost my boy. And you know what? It wasn't his fault. It was my fault. I had taught him that when I speak, you don't have to obey. I had not taught him that when I calmly say, Eric, stop, those words have content and they have meaning. And I committed myself from that point on with all my kids that when I say it calmly, when I say it one time, and you know, I'm not harsh, but when I say it calmly and one time, I expect you to immediately obey, completely obey, and with a good attitude obey. And if you don't, you will get to experience the consequences of your behavior. And when you do, you will get to experience the good consequences of your behavior. And early on, when I knew it was hard for him, you know, I wouldn't go over at the door. I would get all the way over. Eric, yeah, Dad. And I'd get his eyes. We're going to go. Do you understand? Yes. Right now, I want you to put everything down, and I want you to get cleaned up, and I want you to come. Okay. Do you understand that? Yes. Good. And then that's all I said. And if he did not obey immediately, completely, with a good attitude, then I would teach him how to do that. And you know something, when they learn that at 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10. And by the way, when my kids got slack, you know what I found out the problem was? It wasn't them. Is I would start saying it, not meaning it. Children, number one responsibility, the only command I can find in Scripture for a child is obedience. And parents, your number one responsibility is not their self-image. Your number one responsibility is not to make them a great volleyball player, basketball player, ballerina, or musician. Your number one responsibility is not that they get into a good school, have good grades, and have great social skills. Your number one responsibility is to make sure that your kids know how to obey you, who they can see, so they can learn to obey a God who they can't see. And that's what it means to honor your parents. And by the way, if you're a student or a child here, I would just ask is, do you obey your parents? And do you do it with a good attitude? When there's a conflict between your schedule and there's something you really want to do and your parents are in a bind, do you have a cooperating spirit that says, you know what, God placed my parents here and they have a life too, and yeah, Mom, Dad, that's okay, you all go ahead. I can miss this one soccer game. See, it's really, really important. God, this word wasn't given just to a group of adults. This word was given with young people standing and hearing. And this was very, very serious. So serious that, in Deuteronomy 21, don't read that unless you're like have had dinner and you're in a relaxed mode and, you just want to think. But juvenile delinquency was a non-issue in the Old Testament community. Because you know what the price tag or the penalty was for cursing your mother or your father? I mean, just talking back in a cursing tone and showing disrespect for your mother or father? They stoned him. Now, I don't have any place in the Old Testament where they actually, that I hear of, had to inflict that, but just it being on the books, if I was a young kid, I would say, I think I'm gonna obey Mom and Dad. There is a healthy fear that is positive. And I think it's important for us to have that delicate balance. And yes, I think there was a generation where parents were harsh. I think there was a generation where kids were to be seen and not heard. And I think that pendulum has swung so far that we have not taught our kids to obey us, and we do not take it seriously. And we do great harm. What does it look like to honor your parents as a child? Very simply put, you obey them.
Chip will be right back. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message, A Word to Families in an Age of Chaos, is from his series, God's Boundaries for Abundant Living. As Chip explained today, rather than a harsh list of prohibitions, the commandments are actually life-giving instructions from a Heavenly Father who loves His children. God's Boundaries for Abundant Living provides a high view of God that'll give you a new appreciation of your relationship with Him, creating a solid foundation for every aspect of your life. If that's something you'd like to learn more about, we want to help. For a limited time, the CDs for God's Boundaries are discounted and the MP3s are absolutely free. You'll find God's Boundaries resources on our website, livingontheedge.org. Or if you'd prefer to talk with one of our customer care representatives, give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, speaking of parents, I think some people see God as a cosmic parent who just wants to keep us from enjoying life. Now, how can we better understand the loving Father behind His commandments? I mean, Scripture explains it. Why don't we know it?
Great question, Dave. What we know from the research is the average believer in Jesus Christ is not in God's Word on a regular basis. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to help ordinary people, people that just want to know but just don't have the tools of getting into God's Word, but not like I need to read so many chapters or God will love me more if I read more,
sure.
But in a very practical way, it's how I learn to read the Bible in a way to hear God's voice, to connect with God. It's a very simple format. It's short. It's only 5-part. The teaching time is only about 7 minutes. And there's another 10 or 12 minutes to actually practice what I teach. So I think it's really, really going to help people. And I cannot wait for those who want to learn to get it and those who are discipling others to have a tool in their hands that they can share and to help the people that they love really hear God's voice as they get into God's Word.
Great word, Chip. Whether you use it for yourself or share it with others, you're discipling. This online video course, How to Hear God's Voice in Scripture, is a great resource tool. Now, you can do these 5 video lessons on your own time, at your own pace, or as a group. As your relationship with God deepens, your confidence will increase, and you'll actually begin to look forward to spending time with Him. Just go online to livingontheedge.org to check out this free video resource and take your next step toward hearing God speak to you through His Word. Well, now here's Chip with a final thought.
As we close today's program, I have to imagine that there's some of you that actually are pretty discouraged right now. When you hear God's word that says your kids need to honor you, and you have kids that are talking back, disrespectful, don't come in, you've got conflict in your home, let me just tell you that I have been there, and I can tell you there are literally thousands of parents that have been through what you're going through. And part of the issue is, yes, as you're processing this, you need to set clear boundaries. You need to address some issues. But there's part of it that it's, you know, no matter what you do, there's some times where your kids just do some things that make it very difficult or impossible for there to be a lot of peace in the family. And so let me encourage you, number one, this sounds trite, but really pray. God will change your son or daughter's heart. And number two, ask God for the grace to love them even when they're responding in a way that makes you crazy. That doesn't mean you give in, doesn't mean there's not consequences, but what can happen is your heart can get hard and you can start to get where you don't care and you get numb. You don't want to go there. You always want your kids to know you can't have your way in an evil, disrespectful way is what I mean by that. But number two, is I will not stop loving you. And so you keep engaging with them. And one of the other things you need is you need hope, because when you're in the midst of this, as we were many, many years ago, you just feel like it's never gonna end. Let me encourage you, when we're in the throes of it, we're gonna trust God, we're gonna set boundaries, we're gonna love our kids, and the sovereign, all-wise, loving God of the universe has changed kids in the past, and He's gonna change them in the future.
Just before we close, I want to say thanks to those of you who are making a monthly donation to the Ministry of Living on the Edge. Your regular contributions free us to plan and make commitments we couldn't otherwise do. So you're making a huge difference helping other Christians live like Christians. If you're enjoying the benefits of Living on the Edge but aren't yet giving, would you prayerfully consider joining the team? Now, you can set up a recurring donation by visiting our website, livingontheedge.org, or by giving us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, thanks for doing whatever the Lord leads you to do. Well, until next time, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.